Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Toon Jam. I'm Matt.
And I'm J-Man.
And today we have another cartoon conundrum for you, for your very ears. So what are we asking, you ask? Well, here is the answer, and I answer in the form of a question. So I don't know why this has turned into some sort of riddle me this. Yes, so we are asking, will 2D animation disappear?
Ooh.
Will it remain with us, or will it be gone for good as technology advances? Might seem a strange question, you know, because we do have both at the moment, but maybe not so much. Yeah. So let's begin. Jay, if you want to give us a bit of a background on the subject, and then we can kind of jump off from there.
Yeah, so we're probably going to be saying CG a lot this episode, so if you don't know what CG is, computer graphics.
Yes.
The graphics of the computers. So as we moved into the modern era with high-tech technology and those big, you know, sort of weird cream-looking computer monitors that everybody used to kind of have, that really changed the game. So back in 1973, you may be familiar with a film called Westworld, which has recently been sort of redone as a TV series. That was the first instance of CG in a film. So it's a very short clip. Yeah, a very short clip of just, it doesn't really look like CG you'd expect nowadays. It's just some weird kind of overlays of the vision of a robot. And you sort of see that, you know, kind of Terminator vision that we'd probably come to sort of know a bit more. But yeah, so yeah, very short clip in 1973. So then it was quite a while, the CG developed a little bit for us to get what we sort of know as the CG films today. So the first fully featured, the first full length feature that was fully animated was Toy Story in 1995. So obviously 20 years there where we're developing the craft, the technology, lots of little bits popping up, but never like a full feature. But now after Toy Story, you know, obviously things have kind of ballooned, and it's not unusual to get a full movie completely CG, you know, no 2D animation whatsoever. And we've got series that are completely CG. And now we're in that era now where that's kind of taken over. We're another 20 years down the line, you know, plus. And now it's, well, do we still have the other thing that we had in the first place? So, you know, some may argue we don't really have the films that much. A lot of things are CG in films. But also animation-wise, you know, the way that kids used to sort of witness their characters was you'd have the 2D animated style. Things were made by hand in a studio, frame by frame by people. But computers have obviously changed that. And, you know, the reason is it can be a lot more efficient to animate those sequences within computer graphics. So now we're in an era where less and less things are being hand-drawn. You know, we're seeing less 2D things as it goes on. And, of course, like Pixar, you know, owned by Disney, very quickly, obviously, after the smash hit that was Toy Story back in 1995, we're kind of seeing those guys really change the way that they do everything, because they, you know, they were known for the hand-drawn animation stuff. They kind of pioneered the you know, what they were known for, like the rotoscoping that they did, going from live action and making those classic scenes of, you know, characters dancing with animals, and, you know, it was like the clean animation that we kind of knew. It came from Disney, but now that the same studio is making more and more innovations to make more and more CG. So how do we, you know, what do you think will look like another 20 years from now? Like, is it possible that hand-drawn, like, well, not even just hand-drawn, but just 2D in general is gonna go? Like, are people gonna, studios gonna take a lot of time to make 2D animation when almost anyone with a computer nowadays can just animate things, keyframes, and use the software that we've got? Like, you've sort of seen what you can do with just the phone in your pocket, you know?
Like, well, I think there's a certain amount of it as well that, you know, it's the impressiveness when, like, you look at, like, look at the first sort of, so the first, what, fully feature-length animated film, you've got Snow White. And at the time, that was absolutely groundbreaking. And then sort of, you know, there's been things since, but when you look at 2D animation, at least I would say, to an extent visually, most of the change that you see, like, that's obvious, would be mainly just in style. Obviously, there are loads of changes that took place.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's, like, as noticeable to the average viewer. Whereas you take Toy Story 1, first Toy Story film, compare it with the latest Toy Story film.
Yeah.
So Toy Story 4. The change is, like, in just in quality is obvious.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about the fact that it's advancing as we watch them. Every time you see a new one, it's like, wow, look what they've managed to do now.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like we've reached a point where we're like, yeah, it's not going to get any better than this.
No.
It seems to get better every time. And I think there's something in that as well, is the impressiveness as it continues to impress. Whereas 2D animation, you don't get that as much, do you, really?
No, yeah. It's kind of strange the way that CG works. Like, there's something about our sort of perception of it that alters really quickly. Like, when you look at the, you know, you look at stuff from the 90s, and it's very obviously, it's dated really badly. Like, and you don't really understand why, because when you watched it in the 90s, you were like, this is amazing. Like, that looks wicked. That scene from, you know, this animation, that particular scene from a film or whatever, like, it all looked good at the time, but we adjust really quickly with CG for some reason. But like you say, it, other than, you know, maybe just the frame rate occasionally with 2D stuff, you go back to those Disney classics and you're not like, oh, this looks awful.
No.
It doesn't work like that, does it?
It kind of, like, it was like they were always just trying to make it cheaper.
Yeah.
In a way, because when you look at some of the, you know, some of the cartoons coming out of, like, the 30s and 40s, they still look like some of them. If you look at the Fleischer sort of Popeye cartoons and Superman cartoons, there's something about it. It's very impressive. Like, you look at it and you're like, this is actually amazing. I don't really know why. And I'm guessing it's just because of the, like you say, the frame rate and stuff. But when you're watching it, you can't understand, but it's just fascinating to watch. You know, and I guess they sort of figured out how to go over people and stuff and make it more realistic, like the walrus. In Betty Boop.
Yeah, that's the rotoscoping, isn't it? So that's where they project the images onto, like, a, you know, onto something they can draw on and kind of draw trace over it, essentially. But really gives a different effect, doesn't it, than you see that.
But then there's, like, another 40, 50 years of animation carrying on after that in 2D. and beyond, but like I'd say mainstream 2D.
Mm. There's something
that just
about
doesn't
that.
Really. I don't know. Like it's literally like the quality of the image changes.
Yeah.
As in, you know, the colors are. I guess they started to find new ways to color them with computers and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems more like it just became HD.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it? Like, yeah. the big difference you probably will notice if you go back to old animation is that, like, you know, the screen's a different aspect ratio.
Yeah.
And like, maybe it's got less colours or less vivid ones. Like, that's really it. But there's something about that I guess the reason it's kind of continued is that it's timeless when it's 2D. You know, like, you can go and watch that stuff. And, like, imagine if we'd had CG back in, like, the 30s. Imagine how terrible those scenes would have looked.
Yeah.
If stuff from the late 90s is almost unwatchable,
yeah.
Like, how bad would that stuff have been? Like, so, but with 2D, you don't get that. Like,
it's like a trade-off, isn't it? You don't get the continuous, impressive change.
No.
But equally, you are timeless in that sense.
Yeah, it's as good as it's probably, you know, it's probably really ever going to be.
Yeah.
As soon as you make it 2D. So that's.
And
that's
it tends to just be like, I think the only reason older stuff might not be as watchable is just things like, you know, modern storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, changes that we've come to expect that maybe don't entertain us or maybe just don't sit with us now. You know, there's also things like. You know, racism and sexism and social, you know, current social norms that perhaps weren't the same back then as well. That's obviously a big one that kind of outdates certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I suppose that would probably be the same another 20 years from now with the early CG stuff. Like, you know, like I wonder if there's anything in Toy Story that is like a bit iffy now. You're like,
that's a bit weird.
Like, would we do that anymore? I don't know. Like,
yeah, because there are things that if you watch now from the 90s, we've come up, you know, we've seen a couple of things, but to be fair, it's not that often.
No,
in cartoons at least, but every now and again, you are like, that's pretty bad. I think sexism is probably the most obvious one because, you know, that's come a long way quite quickly recently. But there's other, like I say, racism. It is definitely present. And I think they're the kind of things, you know, and like comments against, you know, the LGBTQ+ community.
Yeah.
That's a big one as well that we'll start to see, you know, a lot more like, wow, I just can't believe that, you know, we watched that when we were younger.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, that is an aspect in aging as well. But to go back to sort of the animation side, there's definitely... Yeah, there's definitely a timelessness to 2D. And I mean, I guess this is why the question's there, isn't it? Like, will it go away?
Yeah.
Because even though, you know, maybe it's not as impressive in its change, it's still impressive, obviously, but in its quality change, you could still make it and entertain someone, I would have thought.
Yeah, you'd think so. But is there something that 2D has that's indispensable that 3D can't do? Because we're seeing a lot of CG stuff now that's really imitating 2D stuff really well. Like obviously when it began, it was really a step into we're using CG to try and sort of like gain realism even, you know, as quickly as possible. And it was kind of a walk towards how real can we make these CG scenes? And I mean, you see that in the live action stuff. They're obviously trying to, it went from just adding stuff that's like, well, we don't know how to shoot that, so we'll just make it in CG to, you know, this whole film shot now where it's like, they're not even on location. Everything's a green screen, like the entire characters and people, vehicles, whatever, that's just all animated. Whereas, you know, 2D was never, I mean, other than the rotoscoping where it was trying to get that movement down, you know, realism was never really a huge part of that. In fact, you know, those early animations, they're trying to break that completely. You've got the cartoon physics of, you know, stuff working in a way that it just never would actually do. So we went from that with CG to now the fact that obviously there is definitely something about 2D that has a kind of an appeal. It has a timelessness to it. And CG is trying to kind of get in touch with that a bit more nowadays. So it's trying to take the style, the kind of little elements that you'd be like, oh, this is a cartoon, and sort of put them in the forefront. We're seeing reduced frame rates. We've gone from we didn't have enough frames to let's increase those to now taking them back on purpose, and making it look choppier, making it look a bit more like somebody's done this somewhere at home. So I think we've got that kind of homemade effect. So now we're getting really good imitation CG stuff. So would it make sense for studios to go forward and be like, well, we still actually just do this all hand drawn?
Well, it's got to be, it's got to be like a nostalgia thing, hasn't it? I mean, why else bring it back? I mean, so we've got like, obviously in the sort of the noughties, I guess, they like Disney had their like sort of run towards the end of 2D animation in the cinematic side of their productions. Mm. So you had like Lilo and Stitch, then Treasure Planet. Mm. I think there's Atlantis around there somewhere. But then it ended with Home on the Range, and that was kind of the one where they were like, well, if this doesn't do well, we're going to stop doing 2D.
Right.
Which is kind of a shame because, you know, of all the ones, it was going to end, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A film about cows. I just, you wonder.
why did they place their bets on that?
Yeah. But to be fair, I think a lot of the others haven't done very well. I mean, Lilo and Stitch now is obviously quite big. Mm. But I think that's sort of with time. And it's kind of the one out of all of them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you saw the end, and then they kind of were like, right, we're just going to go do 3D animation. Mm. But then they did quite a few lackluster 3D animated films, Chicken Little. Meet the Robinsons, stuff like that. And then you sort of had, they even tried to go back to 2D animation again with Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
Which is another one a bit like Lilo and Stitch, where it kind of didn't do that well at the time, but
sort of found its fan base a bit later.
Yeah, I guess it fit really well into you know, Disneyland and things like that. So you can bring it back round. And then after that, they went back to 3D animation. So we had, I think it was like Bolt was their first one back after that. But then it got sort of, you know, picked up a bit after that, and we saw things like, you know, Tangled and Frozen.
Yeah.
And the steady stream upwards when, you know, they've gone through another bit of a high, really.
Yeah, it's a strange, that you can tell there's definitely a story there with Disney, isn't there? Of
sort
of their either love and hate for it and what they're sort of planning to do with it. So, so you were really seeing the evolution of it. And I mean, obviously they're a huge company and you know, a big name in animation, you know, as a, I guess as an entity overall, it's like Disney, you associate that with animation, really. So for them to sort of have this kind of weird roller coaster with CG, it sort of dictates what everybody else does, really, because obviously when Pixar came in with Toy Story, everyone wanted that style. They wanted like a Pixar style, and everyone else was, you know, they were trying to get on the success of it, essentially. They were like adapting their style to that. But then if Disney just went and took CG away completely, like, I wonder how many other companies would then just go back to a 2D style, because of, so there's definitely like a market trend there of what, how we use CG and when we use it. But to think that they're now taking their old 2D animations and then making entire CG movies out of it, not only seems bizarre, but... it's just like, what a strange thing, like, to
sort of touching on the live action stuff. The really weird one for me is Lion King. Because they're taking a 2D film and they're not just turning it into, because it's listed as live action in a way, but it's obviously not live action.
No,
because it's about lions and you know, pigs and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's no humans in it whatsoever.
Nice.
So all they're doing is turning the characters into, you know, CG animals, but really trying to make it really realistic at the same time.
Yeah. And they've kind of been responsible for what's sort of being interpreted as that there's kind of a misconception out there now that CG is just superior to 2D overall. And because of the way that Disney is redoing everything in CG, because it almost feels like they're saying, I mean, especially in the climate of remakes and reboots that we're in, it's almost like they're saying by doing that like the old one isn't any use anymore. We need this version. Like, this is the good version now. This is the one that we want to put out there. There is another version, but it's inferior because it's 2D, which is a very strange kind of message.
The thing that I find quite strange is that a lot of them that they've done are more recent films. I guess that the only reason really to do this that I can see, obviously it's an easy moneymaker because you know, you've seen the old one, you'll go and watch the new one out of curiosity if you're a fan. Even if you've seen a few, I've done it, you know, what, even though pretty much all of them have been not as good, I've still watched another one and been like, oh, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm just curious. But then there's not just the money aspect, it's also the updating of it. So for, you know, I guess for crowds, especially with the way Disney runs with Disneyland and things like that, you know, going back to sort of the fact that, look at things like Pinocchio, and you know, Pinocchio is full of, you know, he drinks, he smokes. In the new one, he doesn't do any of that. Then you've got Dumbo, there's the obvious, you know, racial things with the blackbirds. There's always been a thing that's come up. Which they've, you know, removed in the new one. And things like that. So as they go through them, they can kind of correct these things for a modern audience. And still keep the, you know,
the property alive, I guess.
And so they still keep it all in their theme parks and things like that, keep it safe.
So they're kind of, they're readjusting, just kind of retconning all the bad stuff. So you think we'll see a Song of the South soon.
It's Joe. I genuinely thought about this the other day. Like, is that something that they would ever do? Do you think? Like, completely.
It seems dangerous ground to tread.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What's interesting about Song of the South is, like, when you look at, if you look at any internet debates, which is always, you know, not worth doing, but what's interesting about Song of the South is, like, it seems like a 50-50 split on whether or not people are offended.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I had it on video as a kid because they re-released it in the 90s, weirdly. And I remember really hating the live action bits.
Yeah.
So not really paying attention to any of them, but the animated side was just like, I just didn't really enjoy watching them. But it is an interesting one because I don't know if you've seen Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
At Disneyland. So this, for anyone that doesn't know, Splash Mountain is a log flume at Disneyland that is based on Song of the South.
Still up and running.
Still up and running. But I think they're changing it to a Princess and the Frog ride.
Oh, that's very interesting. some interesting choices being made there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a Bayou log flume.
Right.
Now I might be wrong, but I saw these plans the other day and I was like, that is interesting because then you kind of think they've got no intent then of using that property anymore.
No. Once that goes, that's probably not ever going to come back.
But then you think, like, imagine a, because when Song of the South was first made, like before it came out, loads of people were like, this is a really good chance for Disney to, like, you know, call out racism and things like that.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's not something they'd ever done before. And then when the film was made, it was just very safe, romanticized notion of the whole thing. Doesn't really ever mention. And this is where I think a lot of the offence comes from. It's just the fact that they don't mention slavery. Everyone's happy in their role and things like that.
Yeah, you know, it's nothing, sort of glossed over, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, so nothing. There's nothing like. There's no derogative terms used that I'm aware of or anything like that. Mm. It's just the fact that it is glossed over, like you say. But then, you know, you could do a version where you didn't do that if you wanted to keep it alive.
Yeah.
And you could change it completely, really, because no one's going to be like, well, in the old one, actually, I miss the racism.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's not going to be.
if you're going to remake something and change it, surely no one would complain if you changed Song of the South.
Yeah.
And there's parts of it, you know, like, it's a really weird, I think this is why it splits a room, because, you know, it was, so the guy that starred in Song of the South, I forget his name, but he was one of the first black people to get an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was terrible because he couldn't go to the Oscars because no hotel would let him stay there.
What a crazy time.
So I know, he couldn't accept his awards. Horrible, but yeah, there's interesting things about it.
Yeah, obviously. So, I mean, obviously there's positive and negative elements there, like, of, you know, having it out there in the first place, sort of thing.
And the voice cast for the animated characters were black as well.
Yeah.
So they weren't, you know, whereas, you know, in Pinocchio, the blackbirds were, I mean, some of them were the same voice actors, but some of them weren't. They were just people doing racist
depictions.
Yeah, essentially.
Right.
Whereas now... But, you know, it's a really interesting one. I don't think they would ever. Maybe that's a question for another episode.
Yeah, that's a whole different episode. But I mean, I guess they've essentially got the ability to take elements from that, make them CG, and then it kind of rewrites the narrative of that.
Yeah. But then they are. I mean, this is something definitely worth mentioning. They are returning to 2D animation.
Right.
So, Eric Goldberg. He was a lead animator on Aladdin. He did the Genie.
Oh, okay.
He also worked on, you know, other films. He was he animated Louis the Alligator in Princess and the Frog, Phil in Hercules, and Rabbit in the newest Winnie the Pooh film.
Oh, okay.
So you know, he does. He also acted as a co-director on Pocahontas as well.
Oh, cool.
So he said that he is now helming a sort of a 2D animation team at Disney. So he's training a load of animators in 2D animation because it's like people aren't even being trained in it anymore.
Really?
Yeah. So when they hire people, you know, they're not even hiring people that know 2D animation.
So the, I mean, so that could be part of the answer there in the fact that, like, as we move forward, like the kind of the talent is being lost there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Especially from a studio that kind of brought it to us in the sort of the biggest, boldest way. Like they have a fewer and fewer people every year that know that craft.
Yeah.
So
I think it's worth mentioning as well. Like, a lot of the 2D animation is done in, like, as CG almost.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's done digitally.
It's not hand drawn animation. So this is what he's sort of leading. It's a hand drawn 2D animation team. Mm. So that's where the skill, I guess, is different.
Yeah.
Obviously, they are two different things, but they kind of come hand in hand in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I guess this is probably another thing where, you know, they'll make another movie and see how well it does.
Mm.
So it could be another test for
another Home on the Range.
Yeah, it could be, or, you know, more likely another Princess and the Frog, where,
yeah,
you know, maybe maybe we see less and less, or just see one every now and again.
Mm.
But it's worth mentioning that, you know, as far as TV stuff goes, 2D animation is very common.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like the one place it's kind of remained. Like, you've got whole kind of portions of the TV market that have just stayed 2D animated. Like,
yeah, and I guess it's cheaper, isn't it?
It does seem like it's cheaper. Yeah, yeah. And I think again though that there's that sort of idea that kids are used to the way that this looks. Like, yeah, you can animate something like sometimes as cheaply as possible. Like we've seen adult animated stuff, you know, like from Adult Swim and other places where they literally make them as cheap as they possibly can. Like, there's it's like really bad flash looking animation, but you just kind of like, oh, okay, that's just what it is. That's the style. So yeah. I mean, they don't do it as much for young audiences, but you can get away with very sort of, you know, very, I guess, easy, much easier to make stuff in 2D. And as long as it looks like a cartoon, there's definitely an audience there that's satisfied as far as the look goes. So that's really quite interesting. Whereas, like, if you have a really trash looking CG thing, people will complain about it.
Yeah.
like immediately. I don't really understand why that is, but
there's definitely, I think there's probably sort of a, like, a social opinion forming in which, like, 2D animation on TV is fine, but in films, that's where you're having your trouble.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, like, you don't really get it so much anymore because a lot of TV is quite cinematic. But I'd say, you know, from like early noughties and before, TV was always different to film, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you got a film of, say, look at like Star Trek. If you got a film of Star Trek, it was the production values were always insane in comparison to the show.
Yeah.
So you would expect more from a film
than
you would from the show. Nowadays, they're quite similar.
Yeah. Like, if you think of like the Simpsons movie, it was basically just a 90-minute episode of the Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe that's a kind of way that we're starting to think about animation. Like, if something's 2D, you're fine with it on TV, but when it comes to going to the cinema and stuff, you're kind of like, well, in your head, that might be like a low budget type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like you want to see some more spectacle. And I guess there's, I mean, it's weird because, you know, 2D can do a lot of things like really easily that CG can't, and vice versa in a way. Like, I think there is kind of this ongoing unbalancing of like which one's best for certain things, because in 2D, you're kind of relying on the artists a lot and their skills to be able to sort of depict what's going on, like in the best way possible. Whereas in CG, all the kind of physics and stuff are kind of baked into the software. So it's like the perspective of things is already there because you make a thing here and then that thing's already far away. Whereas in 2D, you've got to kind of do all that by hand. But then there's, you know, if you want to go wild and wacky with 2D stuff, you can really do that with it. It's just you draw it. You can break all the rules in a scene. Yeah. Like, you know, you can change the frames. You can go mad. Whereas in CG, if everything's modeled and like each character has like a bone structure and stuff, in order for them to just, you know, break all their physics, you have to actually break the engine a little bit.
Yeah.
So things have limitations. You have to make a new model that's broken and stuff. And so like there is this to and fro, like constantly going of sort of from the behind the scenes way of like which one's the best to work in for what we're doing. And I suppose that's going to sort of, if the CG manages to take over a lot of more spots of like, well, this is, you know, what 2D can do, it might really unbalance things. It really might be much easier to make everything CG instead of having the hand drawn stuff.
I do think that, to be honest, I do think as far as cinema goes, we probably won't see much 2D anymore. I mean, we don't anyway. I mean, if you look at the upcoming films, not one of the upcoming films that I'm aware of, it is 2D.
Yeah, yeah. And you see it in, it's been used in you know, TV and stuff quite a lot. Like Matt Groening's been using it in Futurama, and you see it in Disenchantment and stuff a lot, where it's like the style is very much 2D, but there's loads of scenes where it's like, well, this is way easier in 3D. You'll get camera pans and certain shots that are just like, well, that's obviously, you know, they've done their 3D and kind of drawn over the top of it. So there's loads of things where everyone, like people in the industry, are very sort of getting smarter to the fact that actually we might have saved ourselves a lot of time and effort by just doing this 3D anyway. Like, let's have a CG element in there. And it is, you are sort of slowly seeing it take over. So, I mean, other than the look of it, is there, like, you know, what is there else about 2D that's going to be, that's going to sort of, you know, remain over time? Because now that CG is kind of taking that away as well, we've got stuff like Spider-Verse and you know, like Mitchells versus the Machines, and we've got there's quite a few like TV series out there that are, they look very, unless you see them in motion, you can't really tell that they're CG. That, you know, still shots of stuff that they're taking the look. So I mean, what's left for CG to kind of steal away from the 2D side? Is there anything you think that's like, well, they'll never be able to do that in CG?
I think the one thing you don't see as often in CG really is like huge changes in art style. You still do see it. It's not uncommon. You know, you take like say Spider-Man and compare that to Frozen, and you know, they do look different, but there's still, you know, there's far more variance.
Yes.
In 2D, so I guess art style is a big thing, because it's making, when you make something 3D, you make it more realistic, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you take something really characterized, it might just not work. But even that being said, I think we've watched some things recently, and then there's also, you know, video games to think about as far as animation and stuff, where characters do look completely, you know, different. I mean, look at Big Nate.
Yeah, yeah.
That had its own style, very, very, you know, cartoony.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's. I think it's just a matter of time, to be honest. I think 2D animation, it will never go away, but I think it will become like stop motion animation.
Right.
In which it's kind of a...
Just a niche.
A niche, yeah. It just pops up every now and again. You like it, but it's not something that's done all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I think anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's gonna be bits and pieces that we still have to kind of figure out from the, you know, like how to get those styles down in CG, or how to, you know, break things a little bit and be able to kind of play with stuff in a very cartoony kind of way. But I think, you know, five, 10 years from now, like there's not gonna be anything that's, you know, that's really just only 2D can do. CG, I think, is just going to take over, because it's going to be cheaper for people to make. And the other thing is that it gets cheaper every year, because once you've got the, you know, yeah, once you've got the technology, once you've got the models, once you've got stuff, it's like you're not starting at zero every time. Whereas hand-drawn animation, you are starting at zero every single time, because you've got to redraw that cell. Like you've got to physically like redraw it every single frame. But you save all of that with CG. So yeah, I think it's really, they're going to be, you know, the purists, maybe there's going to be a little corner of the internet that's like, oh, only the finest hand-drawn animation, yeah, painstakingly done by somebody. But
I suppose we should mention things like, you know, Japanese anime and things like that as well.
Yeah. I mean, they're retaining
pretty heavy on 2D.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very much holding on to that look. But yeah. Again, that may be just a case of we've not found something that we feel like naturally fits the look as well. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, in a couple of years, we might get. I mean, there's lots more video games from anime licenses like this.
Yeah, very true. Yeah,
there's some stuff, and they do look really cool in CG. Like they're clearly 3D models, and I think it's just getting the kind of line art to translate over. That sort of. Because obviously a lot of them come from the manga, and it's very focused on the line art there. Once we get that down, I mean, there's programs out there that do it really easily. Like Blender, as we've mentioned before, like, you know, is a free software. Anyone can download it. If you're interested in doing CG stuff, go to blender.org and you can play around with CG. That has literally like a button that's basically draws over the edges of 3D models and stuff, and makes it gives you a hand-drawn line art effect. So I mean, you just press something and it would do that. So it's like, yeah, we're not far away from seeing that take over in a big way. So yeah, I mean, what a strange place we'll be. And I wonder where Disney will be in another 5 years from now.
I think they'll do a 2D film, and then it's, I mean, what Princess and the Frog was 2009, so right, 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably be another couple of years before we see one, if not longer. I just think it'll be something we see every now and again. I think it won't go away, but, you know, it won't be common.
No.
Well, our thoughts.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, tell us if we're right in the future.
Tell us what you think. You can do so on the three outdated jokes of the internet, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at ToonJamPod. You can also catch our old episodes over on YouTube, again, ToonJamPod, or if you're listening on YouTube and you're listening to some older episodes, you can catch our up-to-date feed wherever you get your podcasts. We also have a Patreon feed, so we have some extra bonus episodes on there, so head over for there if you're interested. But otherwise, all that's left to say is thank you so much for listening. And until next time, you stay jammy.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/toonjampod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you, and stay jammy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.